This is an intergenerational service, so it goes all the way from little kids to grandpas, and grandpas get to sit and rock. So kids, if you want, you can come up here, because I'm not going to preach a traditional sermon. I'm going to tell a story. Or if you want to stay where you are, you can. Or if you want to stay with your parents or your grandparents, you can do that too. So it's okay. Let's begin. Get comfortable. If you want to close your eyes, you can. Isaac, how are you? Do you want to come up here with me? Would you come up and sit on my knee? How is that, eh? Oh, more! Come on! This is what... Okay. Here is the story. Are you ready? Okay. Be prepared, okay? The town of Bethlehem was in darkness. It was late at night, and all the inhabitants had long ago put out their oil lamps and climbed into their cozy beds and gone to sleep. The quietness was so different from the crowded daylight hours when people from all over the country returned to Bethlehem for the census. The visitors had taken every available room in every inn. There was no room left. Bethlehem was absolutely full. And now, everyone was asleep. It was a night like any other night, dark and quiet. But on the hillside, surrounding the sleeping town, some were still awake. Any idea who that would be? Who would still be awake? No? Okay, adults, anybody? Shepherds! Oh, thank you. In the darkness, flocks of sheep huddled together for warmth and protection. It was nighttime, and in the darkness, wild animals would come in search of an evening meal, and a sheep or a lamb that wandered from the safety of the flock was easy prey. But they were not alone in the darkness. Shepherds were there to protect them. They stood guard all night long, keeping watch over their flocks each and every night. This night began no differently than any other. Flames danced on the faces of the three men and a young boy sitting around the fire. When darkness fell in the desert, the temperature fell with it, and even with the fire, they had their cloaks tightly wrapped around them. You got to get that wrapped around, okay, because it's cold. So cuddle up beside someone, okay? Can you do that? That goes for adults, too. It's intergenerational, remember that. Every few minutes, one or two of them would walk off into the darkness and check on the flock. They stopped for a few minutes after leaving the fire to allow their eyes to become accustomed to the darkness, and then they would move among the sheep, checking to make sure all were accounted for. They were used to the darkness. They worked every night. Sitting around the fire, the four shepherds often talked while they waited for the sun to rise. They would look down on the sleeping town and wish that they too could be in a nice, soft, cozy bed. They wished they could live in a house and have a flock of sheep that someone else would look after. But long ago, they had lost that hope. They were only shepherds. They were at the very bottom of the poorest class. They were unimportant, uneducated, dirty, smelly, poor shepherds. Watching sheep was all they could do. Watching sheep in the dark and cold of the night, every night, while below them, Bethlehem slept. Now, I need you, all of you, to close your eyes as tight as you can close them. And then I want you to put your hand over top of your eyes so that no light is coming in through your eyelids. Can you do that? I'm going to check on you. Doing that over there? This is how dark it was that night. The stars in the sky were strangely faint this night. They seemed so very, very far away. There wasn't even a moon to give the shepherds light to find their way around on this night. There was only darkness. But this night wasn't like any other night. This night was different. This night would change the world. And suddenly there was a flash of light. Ah! Did I scare you? Good. Now you know how the shepherds felt. Let's try that line together, shall we? Suddenly there was a flash of light. Ah! Much better, thank you. It was as if all the light in all the world had been turned on at the same time. It was like the sun times 107. And all around the shepherds, night turned to day on the sun. They turned their faces away because they were afraid they were going to get blind. What was going on? Oh, was it the end of the world? Oh, were they going to die? They were so afraid. Their legs lost their strength and they fell down to the ground. Kieran, show us how to fall. Can you go down? Just fall right down. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, yes. They held up their hands to shield their eyes. Put your hands up there because that light is very bright. Yes. And slowly, the light changed and became the shape of a human being. That made him more afraid. Yeah. Yes. What kind of being could live in that light? They noticed that the light was not coming from around him. It was coming from him. He radiated light as if he was made from the sun. What kind of being could appear out of nowhere? And what kind of being could not be burned by light so bright? As their questions went through their minds, it spoke. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Oh, it took a moment for that to sink in. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He won't hurt us. He won't hurt us. He won't hurt us. He's bringing us good news. Bringing us good news. News that's so good that it'll turn our fear into joy. And this good news isn't just for us. It's for everyone. And the shepherds looked at each other and the fear on their faces began to change to wonder. Who was this person and what was this good news? He spoke again. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. A Savior? Born in Bethlehem? Christ the Lord? They were only shepherds, so they'd never actually been to school, and they smelled of sheep, so they weren't allowed in the synagogue. But they had heard stories about a Savior. The stories had been passed along from parents to their children for hundreds of years. Stories about the one God would send to save his people. But Bethlehem? Why would the Savior of the world be born in little old Bethlehem? They had lived in the town all their lives, and there was nothing special about Bethlehem. What was it the messenger said again? The town of David. Of course, Bethlehem was the town of David. It would make sense that the Savior would come from the same place as King David. He was the greatest king of the Jews. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. As proof of what he's telling us, he's also telling us where we can find the Savior. Where did he say again? It was hard to process everything so quickly. He said we could find the Savior where? A baby? Lying in a feeding trough? The shepherds looked at each other. Doubt was beginning to show on their faces, as you can imagine. The stories they'd been told said the Savior would be a warrior who sent to fight and destroy their enemies, someone who would return the Jews back to their glory days. Surely not a baby born in an animal shed. The Savior was to be a prince, a lord, not someone as poor as shepherds. That just couldn't be right. They were only shepherds, but they weren't stupid. Surely this being was wrong. The Savior of the world wouldn't be lying in a feeding trough. And then, suddenly, as if the messenger had heard their doubts, a bigger light flashed around him, and he was joined by more of his kind. And they kept on coming and coming and coming. Oh, suddenly, there was a choir. Row on row of them singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." That scared them again. Yeah, because there were so many more of them now. The shepherds fell back on the ground, and their fear was beginning to come back all over again as they looked at this amazing scene. Just when they thought they had seen it, all their imaginations were tested again. They heard the heavenly music sung by a glowing choir. A choir that must be used to singing in heaven before God. Perhaps it was why they were so filled with light. Perhaps it was the glory of God shining through them. Perhaps they were angels. And then slowly, as they began to understand, their fear began to disappear. Slowly it was replaced by awe. They could not believe what they were seeing. It was as if heaven had broken through the dividing wall with earth, and they, poor, lowly, uneducated, smelly shepherds, were allowed to see the heavenly birthday party for the Savior of the world. It was the most amazing thing they had ever seen, the most beautiful song they had ever heard, sung by the greatest choir ever assembled, and they were the only ones to see it. Wait a minute. Why don't you wake up the entire town and allow them to be part of this? Shouldn't they all know what's going on? Why would you just tell shepherds? You should be telling priests and kings and the wealthy and the powerful, not only shepherds. We're only shepherds. Wait a minute. We have some questions, though, we'd like to ask. So don't leave until... But it was too late. As quickly as they had come, they left. The last notes of their song echoing through the hillside. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. And then, they were all alone. They sat in stunned silence for a long while, trying to figure out what had just happened. They tried to make sense of something you couldn't make sense of. It was a miracle. Angels. A Savior in Bethlehem. They all began to speak at once. Was it real? Was it a dream? Are we crazy? No one will believe us. What should we do? Go to Bethlehem. And so they left their sheep, hoping the angels would look after them while they were away. And they went into the town looking for the Savior. And just as the angel had told them, they found him in a barn, lying in a manger with his mother and father and the animals around him. They stepped through the door, looking at the parents to see if it was okay for them to come in. And they were welcomed with smiles and motioned to come close to the manger. It didn't feel like a barn. It felt like a holy place, like the temple in Jerusalem. It felt like the angels had followed them, and though they couldn't see them, they felt them standing around the barn, protecting the little family and worshiping the baby. Shepherds had all seen babies before, but not like this one. When they stepped up to the manger and looked into his face, they knew he was the one. They didn't know how they knew, they just knew. Standing beside him, they could feel the love radiating from him, shining in his face, filling the barn and stretching to the world beyond. This was the Son of God. It was God himself with all of his power and all of his knowledge and all of his love squeezed into this little baby boy. And looking into his face, they knew it was him, the Savior, the Messiah, the promised one. It was him. All that the world had hoped for, all that the world had prayed for was here before them in this manger. They didn't need to hope anymore. Here he was. The Savior hadn't come to destroy. He had come to love. He had come to love everyone, no matter who they were, how much they knew, how much money they had, or how they smelled. He had come for everyone. And the four realized that they weren't just poor, uneducated, smelly shepherds anymore. There was no such thing as only shepherds. There was no such thing as only anyone. There were only those loved beyond anything they could imagine by the Savior of the world. This is where we'd normally say the end. But this is far from the end. Thanks for coming up here, you guys. As we pray, let's have our worship team come up.